One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Kosai.org.
Audio Frontier.
It is the Marks. It is Wrestling Daft. Those two things combined make it Wrestling Daft the Marks. I am John. I produce Wrestling Daft. I present this show and I weigh 185 pounds or something. We won't talk about that. Let's welcome a man who is bigger than the pop that John Cena got at Money in the Bank. It's Big Alex.
How satisfying was hearing, was just seeing a You Can't See Me and hearing the reaction that it got from a live crowd. I'm really glad they didn't do any promo work with it, and it was just that, and then he walked away, and that was the end of the show.
We need to talk about Money in the Bank just in a minute, but first let's welcome a man, and probably the only man I think in the UK that bets on Speedway. It's Gary Cassidy.
I love Speedway, and of course if I was the only man to bet on Speedway, I wouldn't be able to, because they wouldn't offer the betting markets for it. But I brought maybe the only one to bet on it and win. So
you did like an, if you check out Gary's Twitter, you'll see him at Wrestling Gary. You did like an accumulator on Speedway. How does that work?
So Speedway GP's just started. Here's the bit where everybody turns the podcast off because they all get bored. But Speedway GP's just started, and it is like essentially the World Cup of Speedway. Even though it's no, because there is a Speedway World Cup that's no as good. But essentially what happens is they've got like the 16 best riders. They chuck in like a wild card every round. But what they do is it's like essentially like the Champions League. There's like four riders, and four riders face each other 20 times and then have a semi-final and a final and stuff like that. But you can bet on the markets for what rider at the end of it is going to get more points than the other rider. Make a wee accumulator, and I've done one and I won only a wee 60 quid, but
Speedway isn't basically just go around in circles. It's like NASCAR, but on motorbikes, isn't it?
But bikes with no brakes around a dirt track. And
they're not jumps and stuff, though.
No, that's MotoGP. So that's a slightly more interesting one. Speedway
I'm
is
thinking
literally
like
just a
Excite Bike from Mario Kart is where my head's immediately going, you know?
Speedway is literally just a loop, an oval loop, and it's four riders on bikes with no brakes, so... I'm not selling it very well. I can see by John's face
I'm not a massive like fan of that kind of repetitive kind of sport, you know, like Formula One and NASCAR.
You watch WWE, you get the same match every fucking week.
We'll talk about Raw later on. We'll get to the buddies and put overs, but yeah, you're right, Gary. That's a very valid point. Let's before we get into the main crux of it, let's talk a wee bit about Money in the Bank. We just had that there on Sunday. I thought it was, obviously, I think cause of the crowd was there. I thought it was a really good pay-per-view. Maybe it was just my kind of tinted eyes watching it from the crowd. What did you guys think?
I totally agree with you. It was, I've been saying for now a year on end that they've just been putting out consistently good pay-per-views. Wasn't really an overly flat match, particularly. I wouldn't say. Maybe the Viking Raiders AJ almost one was slightly.
It was a good match.
Yeah, it was a good match. You know, like all three of the title matches were really good, if not weird booking with Charlotte that then goes into Raw as well. So it just seems more of stacking wins for Charlotte in that department. But I think that would be the only real complaint. Like the Lashley Kofi match was tremendous. The Ben's Money in the Bank was tremendous. Then the Roman Edge match was tremendous. So. Yeah. What more do you want?
Yeah, I feel like I think I know we'll get into them in more detail in the biddies and put overs, but overall, the three shows over the weekend, I'm not sure how much of one is driving the other, but it seems like either the crowd are making the shows much more bearable, or because crowds are back, WWE maybe need to up their game a bit, which they have to please the crowds, because obviously they've been able to control the reactions that the segments have been getting for the past year and a half. So I just thought three solid shows between SmackDown and Raw last night, and obviously the big one in the middle was Money in the Bank. there wasn't a match I didn't enjoy on it. I thought everything was good. It wasn't overly long. It was still a pretty concise pay-per-view. Every match had meaning. Everything seemed to make sense. And obviously delighted with Nikki Cross, but I know we'll get into that.
I did like the booking of the end of that match, of just everyone being distracted, fighting away at the top of the ladder, and Nikki just pings up and down, and that's it. Nice, easy done, terrific.
Any buddies from the card and or the pay-per-view itself?
The Ripley-Charlotte booking for me is a little bit weird, and then from what happened on Raw, I mean, I get it, obviously it gets the title onto Nikki, which has now happened on Raw, which I'm sure we'll talk about more on Raw.
They
took a couple off her. She's only an 11-time champion when she's actually won 14. So I'm not sure about that. But the one thing I'll say...
I think they're just slowly trying to build her back up to 14. Like it's...
I don't know why they took the NXT ones off, although they could have just left them. But the one thing I'll say, not confirmed and nobody's reported it yet, but I think Ripley lost for a reason and might be out for a little bit.
Is there an injury related? Because that's now 3-0 Charlotte over Ripley.
That's the word going about. I'd heard before the show that Charlotte might be winning and that was the reason. Then I was surprised to see Ripley again on Raw, and obviously the match before, the night before, was a pretty lengthy match. But that is the speculation.
Certainly didn't look like she was carrying anything. I mean,
apart from last night, but obviously that could be mainly selling the injury for the night before. That was the one thing that I'd heard, was just taking a bit of time off, maybe. So not too sure on that, but we'll see. That would explain it. But either way, that means that all... apart from one cash in, obviously we're not counting last year because nothing got cashed in last year on the women's side. All but one cash in has been on Charlotte Flair for the Money in the Bank. That's
good. Gary, was there anything from the show that you weren't happy with?
No. I absolutely loved it. I wouldn't say it was like a 10 out of 10 show, but there was nothing that particularly upset me in any way. Alexa Bliss.
Oh, sorry,
no. Alexa Bliss, purely... putting mind control tactics on Zelina Vega and getting her down the ladder. That match was a wee bit clunky as well. So
Has anyone been watching Loki and noticed that she did the exact same hypnosis trick from Loki? So it's amazing how recent pop culture TV always influenced the WWE writers.
I don't know. I think it's probably going to be something similar for 30 years ago that they've watched and decided to reenact it. That it's just a coincidence. Loki's a bit too recent for a...
That's true, actually.
That is true.
The other one is Seth Rollins got new theme music, and is it even more awkward than his last theme music, or have I just been missing this for weeks?
I didn't notice that. But one other bitty that I will say, they showed a highlight package for the Viking Raiders, and they showed all that shite they done fucking 2 years ago with the Happy Gilmore golf and the bowling and the basketball. I was like, don't build them up by showing that. Come on, show.
And then they had them come out in their full Viking gear as well to give the absolute opposite impression that they just done in the video package as well.
If it's the two things that are upsetting anybody, then everything that was good outweighed that. So
yeah, I guess a couple of buddies from me. I'd like to have seen the obviously when it changed titles and it's on the kickoff show. I never like that, but they do a change of title on the kickoff show. Well, obviously, the Mysterios losing out to the Usos, but again, that's going to be interesting moving forward with that, the Usos and the Roman Reigns storyline. But the other bit, I just think I feel sorry for Kofi Kingston because, it was very similar to the match he had against Brock Lesnar. In the fact,
no, it wasn't. It was considerably longer.
But that was it. It was longer, but he still got absolutely battered off of Lashley. Now I get why they're doing that with Lashley. Obviously, we saw on Raw return of Goldberg, and need to build Lashley up to probably get beat by Goldberg. But I thought it should have been, I keep the title on Lashley, albeit, but Kofi should have got something in and should have got his...
Do you know what I think it might be? Do you remember what else happened on the night? A certain Mr. Langston winning a certain briefcase. So the idea would be that is actually, in my head anyway, that would be the beginning of the Big E Lashley feud. So that's why they did the Kofi turn there. So you got Kofi losing only to have Big E win. So you got kind of the New Day crushed and the New Day up, if you know what I mean.
And my thinking would be that, I know that you've mentioned Lashley and Big E there. Big E has said many times his dream match is Goldberg. So,
Gary, why do you always ruin
it? I mean, I wouldn't have. You guys know I can't stand Goldberg. I loved him when I was younger, but we don't need to see him. And also for a WWE Championship, again, we don't need to see it, but I've got no problem with seeing Lashley Goldberg or Big E Goldberg, so I don't really mind.
I'll be good to, you know, talk about the Money in the Bank winners. It was great seeing Big E win it. Drew, obviously, taking out the match, but I saw a tweet that you'd put up, Gary. I think actually taking Drew out the main event picture for a while is probably a good thing, rather than if he was to have won Money in the Bank, I think the crowd would have turned on him.
They already kind of did. He was getting like the John Cena, Roman Reigns polarizing reaction for a few years ago because he's been, I think because he's been booked like that, because I think the perfect story would have been to take Drew McIntyre out of the title picture for the past 6 months that we've had and then have him win Money in the Bank. And then his cash in would have been that crowd moment that he didn't get 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But I feel like they've done the right thing. Big E definitely as well. I would have been happy with Big E or probably Kevin Owens. Maybe even a Seth Rollins would have been an interesting kind of conundrum. I think Big E was the choice. That was the like almost unanimous. I think people, if you looked at one person that they said, "What's your dream pick for that?" they'd probably all pick Big E. So
I mean, you've got to feel sorry for Drew. I mean, I think the creative around him has been the stuff that they've been making him say in scripts has just been fucking awful, man. Talking about Loch Ness monsters and
but Drew Jinder. We're getting Drew Jinder. Who doesn't want Drew versus Jinder? Drew exercising perhaps the biggest demon of his past because he's not there anymore.
I also think that will be a good match. I'm really excited for the actual match.
It's also going to make Drew look probably really strong because Jinder's got the Indus Share Boys beside him. Or are they going to use Drew to make Jinder look really strong? How's the Indian market looking just now, Gary?
Nothing's happened, but there's always that NXT India on the back burner. So, you know, they obviously had the Indian pay-per-view last year, start of this year.
What about putting over from the show then? I mean, obviously, I completely marked out when the Cena music played. The only thing I would say about Cena returning, and I loved it, and it was just like great. I would like to have seen Roman Reigns just fucking spear him when he's doing all this shit in the ring. He's giving it all that. I'd love to have seen Big Roman just go boom through him, and then that would have been beautiful.
Well, my favourite thing about this is, you know, most people, they have it in their mind that Roman Reigns is going to win. With John Cena, there's always that wee element of doubt. I mean, you're never going to write off John Cena for winning a title at a pay-per-view, particularly, you know, like a SummerSlam. So there's always that wee tiny bit of doubt. But I loved it. My actual main, the things that I loved about it, for a start, John Cena's hair. Big man suits the quiff, I really like it. But the main thing...
Away. He's got a wee bit, wee bit bald at the back.
That's why the quiff is good. It can just comb it over a wee bit and it hides the wee bald a wee bit more than his flat top did. But the main thing that I liked was actually the fact that because of how much he have established heel Roman Reigns is now, and because they obviously the crowd been back for like the first time at a pay-per-view, second time, you know, because SmackDown was there, the pop that John Cena got and the fact that he just got cheered, he got a few John Cena sucks on Raw last night, but he got a babyface reaction, and I loved that. I just loved seeing him back and loved hearing the crowd go mental for him.
Yeah. And that main event itself, it was a very Attitude Era main event. We had ref bumps, we had interference left, right and centre from Rollins and the Usos and Mysterio.
Too much interference, which was a bit of a shame for me.
Yeah, Seth interfered and then came back. I thought I don't understand why they did that. But no, it was great. I thought Edge came out of it looking great as well. And obviously, again, it just sets up the Edge-Seth match, which is, I think everyone...
Yeah, it gives Edge something to do outside the title picture. So they did have storyline repercussions, I guess. And they did build to the Seth interference as well, because did he not do a promo? Post-Money in the Bank, post-Money in the Bank match, pre-main event as well.
It made it a little bit obvious of what was coming next, if I'm honest with you.
But it's also foreshadowing occasionally.
It was also another long Edge match. It's like for a guy that doesn't compete much and obviously hadn't competed for what 9 years, every match that he's had, apart from like the wee tag team one on SmackDown, but almost every match he's had has been about half an hour long at least. So
Roman and Randy work quite a slow, methodical pace.
Methodical. Almost. I was gonna say you can't say slow, methodical is the word that we
methodical
always hear.
Pace. It's the Triple H WWE main event style is what they work. So you know they could do a 3 hour Ironman match and it would be fine.
But with every passing pay-per-view and every passing week on SmackDown, Roman Reigns just further cements his place as probably the best wrestler in the world at the moment. He's just character, promo. The talk throughout the match is incredible. You know, in the ring, he can do it. He's just absolutely incredible. You know, and like I was reading an article, he will, you know, looking back on this period of his career, put himself up there with the Stone Colds, the Cenas, the Rocks, the Hogans of this world at the top of the card. So, no, really, really good. And by the way, Gary, if you've not seen this gift that Gary put on his Twitter of Roman Reigns when he went and picked up a chair and a woman goes, "I love you, Rope. We love you, Roman." And he just kind of looks at her and she just shits it. It's brilliant.
Does he not do that? Does he not put his finger up at her as well? Or is that
He snaps the chair like together to obviously have it folded to use as a weapon almost immediately after she said it. And it's not just Roman Reigns' reaction, it's the wee boy next to him. I'm not sure if it's somebody that was where, if it's a son or what, but stares a hole right through her. It's absolutely brilliant.
No, good. Looking forward to SummerSlam now. And we will be doing a SummerSlam watch along on our channel, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. So we can get involved in that, so get signed up there. But I think before we go further, I've had a bit of a rubbish day, Gary, and do you know what I need in my life? I need to laugh and smile, and do you know what I need? A joke from Gary Cassidy.
Well, I was actually in a wee bit of a rush to get back for the podcast today, because I went a walk to the park, true story, about a two-hour walk to the park near me, and came back, obviously, a wee bit sweaty, but I went to the park. And then Sparshaw Park, I don't know if any of you've been, but it's got a Helter Skelter. So I decided to go up the Helter Skelter, went down it, was absolutely brilliant. Now I'm addicted to Helter Skelters. It's the beginning of a downward spiral.
Brilliant, I like that one. That's made me smile. Fantastic. On the show, and of course we will be burying and putting over stuff from all the big shows. Definitely Raw seems off the back of the pay-per-view, really exciting Raw, and lots going on in AEW and the rest of the brands. And it is the first time we have had a challenger to the New Age Mark Laws, Rico and Bronze Chill, who normally review SmackDown for us. A challenge has been accepted, and we will find out what happens when our challenger Ryan comes on with them on Buddy and Put Over. But first, I think it's about time we cut a promo.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
Right, gentlemen, hand me over the mic, because I want to cut a promo on something. I think you'll both agree with me on this one. I know we don't always see eye to eye when it comes on things I get annoyed about, but everyone, I think, listen, will agree on this one. You're both, Alex, you're a driver. Gary, do you drive?
No, I don't drive.
You don't drive. It's probably more for Alex, this one then. Right, I just want to say to those drivers out there that don't acknowledge good driving etiquette, your fannies, right? Now, by acknowledgement, right? So if you let...
I thought you were going to say that, don't acknowledge the tribal chief.
Yeah.
You mean you don't have your Roman Reigns bumper sticker yet?
Yeah.
In the bin.
Well, that would be good. That would be good. But yeah, right. Here's an example. Here's a couple of examples, actually. So you flash someone, you let them into the lane. You've done a good deed. Yeah. I didn't have to do that. You know, little tap of the hazard warning lights. Thank you very much. It's a little bit of acknowledgement. Or, for example, you're on a road which only allows for, and there's a car parked, you know, you don't have to let this person pass, but you know what, I want to be a good guy. We flash you the lights, they come past your car, they put a little two, you know, on the steering wheel, a little two-finger salute, you know, the little two fingers go up to say, yep, thank you very much, sir. We nod, and away we go to the races. People that don't do that are arseholes. And do you know who these people are? Fucking Audi drivers. There is a real... Sorry if you're driving
Audi. You're doing well. Everybody will agree with this. I bet you about 90% of people that listen to this podcast drive Audis now.
Yeah, do you know... I don't know if we've got any Audi drivers in our listen to us. We might do. If you do drive an Audi and listen to this podcast and you acknowledge people with hazard warnings or, you know... Now, I'm not talking... See, when you acknowledge someone when driving, this annoys me. And maybe there's a slight difference between men and women. Do you give the two fingers up? Alex, when someone you've, you know...
I more do like a half hand thumbs up and half hand back down. I do like a full fist rotation.
No.
Usually. I love the fact that anybody that isn't watching the video version of this, when you're saying two fingers up, they're going to hang with you.
You know what I mean? No, you're grasping, imagine you're grasping... Now, if you're listening to the podcast, imagine you've got a steering wheel in your hand and your two fingers next to your thumb go up and it's just a little two fingers together. Almost like, what do you call it? The Hunger Games. There you go. It's like the Hunger Games when you acknowledge them going past. And so, yeah... I'm glad, but Alex, no, you take your hand off the wheel and like wave at them.
I've
and
got get them both up. I just do that. Like,
nah.
Sorry, John. I apologize that my way of showing appreciation isn't acceptable for you.
Well, but the main thing is you're showing appreciation, Alex, and you don't drive an Audi. But if you do drive an Audi, we're getting back to the point, and you do acknowledge, I apologize. Please let us know here at Wrestling Daft. That would be great. But yeah, driver acknowledgement. Let's make it that happen, people. Just thank the person that's been good to you, right? Hazard warning lights, two fingers up, not a thumbs up like Alex does. That would be great. Thank you very much. So every week we look back at the big wrestling shows, we separate the good from the bad as we bury and put over stuff from them. We've already talked about Money in the Bank, but let's talk about the go-home shows to them and the aftermath as well as AEW. Now, I'll introduce Alex, who does AEW, Gary, who does Raw, Rico, one half of the New Age Mark Laws, other half is missing today, so he's out on a solo performance. Now, every week, they do SmackDown, right? And we always throw down the gauntlet saying, if you want to challenge the boys to come on, be one of our reviewers of the show, you're welcome. And someone has inserted coin and a new challenger has been accepted. Let's welcome to Wrestling Daft the Marks, it's Ryan.
Hello, I'm here to end the reign of terror, the New Age Mark Laws. So
the end of terror. He's on to a good start. He's on to a good start.
So Rico, you're the heel, just so you know.
Cool. Hey, I'll be the heel. Yeah, cool.
You've got to heal up. Ryan, tell us about your wrestling credentials. Tell us about your wrestling background.
Well, I've been a wrestling fan for pretty much my full life. I can remember like watching Batista and like John Cena. That was the kind of when I started watching when they were like champions, and I've watched ever since.
ICW kind of guy? Do you go and see any of the events, or are you Discovery or anything like that?
No, I like pretty much everything. I've not been to any ICW shows, but I have seen pretty much all the shows on like YouTube and stuff, and I like AEW as well. So,
all right, okay, a man of many talents. There we go. You better watch your spot, Alex. Right, so here's how it's going to break down. We're just going to go through the shows as we normally do. When we get to SmackDown, you each get a buddy and put over, and then at the end of the show, at the end of the segment, we'll find out where we're at. You happy with that, boys?
Yeah, that's fine.
You want any trash talk, Rico? Like, you want to heal it up a wee bit?
I'll let Ryan go first if he wants to have a wee go.
Well, I was disappointed in Bronchicello when he bottled it basically last week. But you know what? I applaud him because he knew he was going to get beat this week. So, yes. Yeah.
Yes, this is great. Rico, would you like to respond?
I feel like that is fighting talk. That is fighting talk, my man. So, is that a Man City shirt you've got on there? Is it?
As a.
So, Glory Hunter, obviously. You want to come in when the chips are down. You want to come in and try and beat me when my tag team partner's away. That's fine. I can see what kind of guy you're like. That's fine.
Right, well, let's hold it there, boys. Let's hold it there. We'll wait till we get to the main event and then we'll find out what's happening. Let's first go to NXT last week. And it is my turn. Where do you think I'm going to go first, boys? Where do you think I'm going to go for my first put over? Where do you think I'm going to go?
Does it begin with a certain hick who's currently fighting a very mouthy man who's got a belt that's made of diamonds?
Grimes!
I'm going to say, is that a place in California?
LA Knight! My word. I was wanting the skits. The skits were brilliant. They flipped it on its head, so you thought Grimes was going to have to do all the kind of butler stuff, but then he just ended up paying like a wee guy to do everything for him. Was quite happy to be the butler. He was like, look at great this butler gear, and just absolutely brilliant. Love the skits. Long may it continue. I just love how they flipped it on the head. I don't know where it's going to progress to, but. Do you know what? They'll end up probably being a tag team or something like that. But you know what? Loved it. Absolutely.
Can they stretch it out to the Dusty Rhodes Classic 2022?
That'd be a shout.
That'd be a shout. I don't know if they'll manage to manage that. But you'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. But loving the stuff they're doing with Grimes and LA Light. Long may it continue. First, Buddy, let's move on to Xia Li. Now, for me, the looks like she came into the ring and she put in a challenge against Raquel Gonzalez, kind of laid down the gauntlet. It's too early, I think, to put. I mean, it's been a weird one with Raquel Gonzalez. She's not really done much with the title since winning it, and now like Xia Li, so you've got this kind of heel versus heel dynamic. I just think with the Xinjia stuff, they should have built it a bit more. I think it's, again, like we talked about earlier, Nikki Cross being a bit too early for her. I think it's too early for Xia Li. You know, eventually let's get there with her, but I just thought a bit too early for that, I think. Let's do another buddy while we're in this kind of thing. Mandy Rose, just strange. So Mandy Rose turns up in NXT and she just kind of stands at the top of the ramp it was Sarai and a wrestler called TJ Dillon. And she just kind of stood and kind of nodded and acknowledged. I don't know where they're going, but it's very strange that they put Mandy Rose seemingly back in NXT. What's the scoop, Gary? Do you know what's happening?
No idea. It took me by surprise as well. I'm guessing it's just the kind of thing where, I mean, she wasn't really doing much on Raw. There was a weird thing that happened. I didn't see the original Instagram story, but somebody put up a photo of an Instagram story, supposedly, from Dana Brooke. And it was a weird one because it had a caption that said 1 week and then had the pregnant emoji. But it's like, nobody would be, you wouldn't post that you were 1 week pregnant. You probably wouldn't even know if you were 1 week pregnant. So there was a weird bit of speculation about that. I wouldn't read too much into that, but we've not really seen Dana Brooke or Mandy Rose on Raw for a while. And there's quite a lot of women on Raw. And quite a lot, I mentioned that last week, a lot of storylines that are maybe like getting TV time anyway. So maybe it's just the kind of thing where it was like, well, she's not doing it on Raw, chuck her in NXT and see what happens there. So but, I don't mind it. I don't hate it as much as you seem.
I don't hate it. It's just, I don't know. We'll see where it goes. But Sarai looks really, I mean, I don't know if you saw the drop kick that, through the ropes that she gave to this poor lassie TJ Dillon, who has just, I hadn't seen her next season.
Her opponent was the former Priscilla Kelly.
Priscilla Kelly?
And obviously hasn't really, like, she was with Cora Jade, who used to be Elena Black, and the women's tag team Dusty Cup women's right. version of that. And the match was on 205 Live, so not many people seen it. And she's just not really been seen since, but it's surprising because she is, like, a very established indie wrestler, and I know WWE's a different kettle of fish, but we've just not seen much here at all. But I thought that match was a really enjoyable match for all we got it anyway.
Yeah, no, that was good. And we had talking about Japanese wrestlers, Ikemen Shiro had the start of the tournament, the breakout tournament, Duke Hudson. Now, Duke Hudson, I think, has done quite a bit or in progress and things like that, but he did look very much create a wrestler.
It's my favourite name, so I'm just glad that he's we're going to see more of him.
I was gutted that Giro did go through his wrestlers in a suit jacket, man. And that, you know, in Fashion Corner, I was like, more suit jackets and wrestling. I'm all for that. Let's keep that up.
I like that because he was the obvious favourite, I think, to win the full thing. So I like the swerve of chucking him out straight away.
Yeah, absolutely. And we also put over, you know, we've got Joe there. Obviously, he was refereeing the main event between Gargano and Cross. But there's little teases of Joe matches, and I'm thinking, yes, I want to see that. So we've got, obviously, T's Cross looks like it's going to happen. Depending on what's, you know, when, once we get into Raw and we're talking about Cross on Raw, I'm guessing. But there's a little tease, you know, obviously, there's not a little tease. That looks like it's going to happen, obviously, Cross versus Joe. But then there's a kind of moment backstage where he bumps into Pete Dunne. I want to see that match as well. And then Adam Cole, it looks like the kind of, you know, there's been bits and back and forth between him and Joe as well. So three matches you really like to see happen. And, you know, whether I'm guessing Joe's good. There's no way they would have Cross.
He might still be injured, and they're just trying to prolong it out until he's actually healthy enough to wrestle.
Maybe, but I mean, there's no way Cross put him in the straitjacket on him, and you don't think there's no way they would have that happen unless Joe could, you know, wrestle.
I think they'd have veered heavier into the way I thought they were going in the first place, where they were just going to have Joe be like the enforcer for William Regal. I think they'd have veered heavier into that side if they weren't going to have him wrestle. It definitely seems like we're going to see a Samoa Joe match in NXT again. I don't think there's any question about that.
I'm all for
it. Although, no, I'll get made to look like a fool when it doesn't happen.
Yeah. match of the night, I'm going to give it. I really should probably give it to the main event, but I don't know why, just Dakota Kai versus Ember Moon. I really, really enjoyed that match. Really, really enjoyed that. Ember Moon's great. Obviously, Shotzi's went up to the kind of main roster. Now she's kind of swimming again because she's not involved in the tag division. But yeah, I think she's brilliant, Ember Moon. Really, really good. And Dakota Kai's brilliant as well. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see what happens between her and Gonzalez going forward as well. But yeah, Joy Boy NXT, we're getting there. Lots of things going on. But yes, let's move on, shall we? Let's go. Do you know what? I think we should leave SmackDown to the end. So let's come to Alex next and AEW last week.
You're fucking with the time period, mate. I don't like it. We have a timeline and you've ruined it. So here we are in the third edition of AEW's Fyre Fest. Who'd have ever thought that it would have lasted considerably longer than its namesake, the Fyre Festival? Way, sorry, I just never made that jab before. So I'm gonna jump immediately into Fashion Corner because there's a lot of things that pleased me this week. None more so than Nick Jackson deciding to have an acid trip with what he was wearing. It was beautiful. I've never seen a man in a fully matching shirt and short tie-dye combination that has left me so satisfied. He's also managed to grow back such a marvelous goatee in a week. So he really, really is my hero. And I promise next week I'll not mention Nick Jackson. But one small fashion berry, right? Did anyone catch what Mr. Powerhouse Hobbs was rocking?
No, but I was going to say, I really hope you're going to mention Hook, because I thought Hook was like the epitome of fashion.
Yeah, yeah. His leather trousers are pretty badass, isn't they? Like, but you know, like Hobbs next to him, did he have like the tight white t-shirts, nipples showing like very heavily, and then he had a pair of dungarees with one strap undone, and I was just like, lad.
I don't even think I paid attention to Powerhouse Hobbs because I was like, Hook looks like Danny Zuko, but I was like, it looks brilliant. So
maybe that's why they've had to cast Brian Cage out of Team Taz now, because he's not fashionable enough.
He wasn't going to wear dungarees.
This is the problem. Like, actually, thinking about it, but all of Brian Cage's ring gear is now orange and black, which now he's been tossed out of Team Taz, he probably can't wear anymore. So
yeah. He's still got his TNA name. He can just bring back his TNA gear.
I don't really have any berries this week. I thought this was another terrific show. The crowd coming back has made such a big difference. Even JR was absolutely fine. Like, I even have a quote from JR, actually, my favourite quote of the night, when talking about the only thing that's almost as hot as John Cena was on Sunday night, which is Sammy Guevara, and he called him hotter than donut grease. And I was like, boom, I love it. You're really happy, Jim. Well done. So, so since I have no berries, I'm going to be cheeky and give myself a third put over. So, put over number one. The entire John Moxley, Carl Anderson, New Japan US title match. Just everything about it was terrific. I thought Carl Anderson's entrance was on point. They really built Carl up to be an actual threat to Mox. And for a little bit, I thought he actually might have won. They were talking about his lineage in New Japan. They were all that stuff as well. So it was well done Excalibur for pulling all that through, and well done Carl for pulling out the match. And there was even a class little bit at the start where Eddie Kingston just immediately attacks Gallows just to take him out of the equation, which again is just great, sensible wrestling booking. Loved it. And we ended that with having a challenge from Lance Archer for next week, which is a Texas death match in Texas. So again, I love that kind of stuff. It makes sense. And I think we could legitimately see Mox drop the title here, I think.
Do you think?
If you're going to do it, now is the time, as he has been champ since, what, like 500 days ago. And unfortunately, he's not really been able to do much with it because of his, well, the pandemic and him not being able to get to Japan. So I think you could put it on Archer. He's I think he's also one of the people who works for New Japan, so he will bounce back and forth. I don't think he's turned up and strong yet, but I'd imagine he would. And I think Archer deserves to get a belt put on him. I think he's been terrific. And his promo work over the last couple of months is really paying off dividends after a couple of years with Jake. So give that man a belt. And I think giving him the New Japan belt is the right belt to give him. So do that.
Do that.
Put over number
There's also
two.
The intrigue now, though, because you messed up the timeline, John, but I'm sure Alex would have probably mentioned or might even mention that a certain Switchblade is now in.
Well, you see, I do my things in chronological order, Gary, so I was getting to that.
Yeah, excellent. In that case, I will take a backseat.
Well, the advantage of that, it does actually, that does help my timeline, because I was going to interject after SmackDown to talk about that to maintain the timeline, so it has helped me being a prick, so... put over number two, Mr. Cody Rhodes and his microphone. Just again, terrific promo work. Like, I really like the way they started it. Like, he started on the commentary desk and then like on the headset as if he was talking to the viewers, and he just come out the back. Like, I love it when promo segments start much more organically and it's not just someone coming out with a mic in like a pre-timed segment, you know. Probably wouldn't happen, but if it's just Cody coming out and just the way the whole situation evolved, it was terrific. He kind of saved Excalibur's ass a little bit by calling him Tommy End, Malakai Black. So they're maybe going to do some kind of split personality with him, which is maybe slightly concerning. But he's still not wearing any socks. So 10 points, Alistair. Please never wear socks. Please never change. And I've just called him Alistair, so bury me. What a dickhead. Ah, damn.
They're all the names. You chose the wrong one.
You're Jim Ross, for goodness sake.
And I was putting over Jim Ross and everything to begin with this segment. Damn it. Damn it. But my final put over for this show is that we're getting a meaningful Survivor Series match just before Survivor Series, which I think is terrific, or like a couple of months before. So it's like, hey, WWE, here's this 5-on-5 traditional Survivor Series elimination match that you hate. We're going to do it and actually have some meaning to it where people will care. So, yeah, I'm glad they've kind of booked that, and I'm glad the beginning of the Omega Page rivalry is starting off of faction warfare. So they're actually getting something from the Adam Page Dark Order kind of storyline. That's obviously, I mean, that's kind of an organic one since Brody and stuff. But yeah, I think that'll be fun. It'll give the Dark Order guys good elevation, getting them in the ring with Bucks and Omega and stuff as well. And yeah, another great promo segment. Another great promo segment. Match of the night obviously has to be that main event, which was absolutely terrific. I'd imagine Gary would have been all over that. It says two of his boys.
Loved it. Loved it.
On the money, like great crowd work as well. Like all the stuff, like, was it that pile driver that I legitimately thought Darby had died? Also, for those interested, I did actually look up what the difference between a casket and a coffin was, because originally I thought they were just being dicks to try and change it from WWE, and it turns out it's the shape. So yeah, a coffin has an elongated shape. Well, a casket is traditionally square, so it was actually a coffin match. So 10 points then, and 20 points to Darby for doing a coffin drop through the coffin after he'd won the match.
My favourite thing about that is I think you can sympathise with either one of them, because I'm going, if you're claustrophobic, that Ethan Page bit is the worst thing ever. And if you're scared of heights, the Darby Allin part is like the worst thing ever. So it's,
well, it's
just
like, it's just the way he was in the coffin just waiting for Darby to jump on him for like 3 minutes, you know, like all he had to gauge was crowd reactions and hope that he got it just as they were going up. So he must have just been like tensed, waiting for a bump for ages. It must have been claps.
I still fear for Darby Allin's career. The guy is just not going to last, but he's making sure it's worthwhile every second that he is able to compete. So
exactly. But it's what happens when you come from the world of skateboarding. I guess, maybe. Get him in the ring with Steve-O. We'll see who lasts longer.
Get him in the ring with Steve-O. What did you see, Jeff? What did you see, Jeff Darby? That's just like, who can kill themselves first match or
just
something.
Just you
like
wait
that.
Until that Jeff Hardy fucking WWE contract expires. Where do you think he's immediately going?
Thank you very much, Alex.
Well, finally, John, we have to very quickly talk about Slammiversary.
When I came to Gary, I was actually going to have, because we all know Gary is the biggest impact mark out of us all. Do you want to talk Slammiversary before Gary gets his stuff in?
No, because then I'll be ruined. I want to talk about the end of Slammiversary. So right. If Gary wants to talk about anything predating, and I've been such a dick about chronological order.
So before we talk,
I can round up, the best thing about it is that No Way Jose appeared.
As opposed to Jay White, we're like, aye. Yo, over No Way Jose.
How can he keep
Jay White,
name?
Thunder Rosa, Mickey James, who cares? No Way Jose turned up. That was like the blow off of like Tommy Dreamer kept mentioning No Way Jose, but he didn't mention it. Somebody would mention the words No Way Jose and Tommy Dreamer was popping up. And it happened three times over the past year where they said, no, we've not signed that guy. So it was just a nice like blow off to that that week.
How has he managed to get out of WWE with his name? I don't get it.
He's getting called No Way, which is the part of the name I didn't think he'd use. So
okay. It's better than just Jose. So it's
that was really good. Obviously, Alex is more excited by the ending, I think, than I am for many reasons. But I loved seeing Mickey James there. Deonna Purrazzo versus Thunder Rosa was great. And the main thing that I really liked didn't even happen on the show. It went out as a social exclusive afterwards. And I believe something has happened at the tapings that are going for TV. So apologies if I'm going to spoil it for anybody. But Chris Bay has joined Bullet Club, which I love. So that was the most exciting thing for me. And I know Alex is going to, I'm not even going to mention the ending because I know that Alex is going to love it.
Well, I think the big exciting thing is, as we all know, Jay White turns up after the Omega Callahan match, which I really enjoyed the Omega Callahan match. I'm glad that they made it a no DQ, as I thought, why have an Omega fucking Callahan match if it's not going to be DQ? It's just be silly. So, I mean, Jay White came out at the end, but the weird thing is it seems as though they're pivoting Jay towards more his like continuous strong feuds. So he seems to be going after like David Finlay and stuff as well. But the best part is having the new Bullet Club actually within the new kind of open door segment of all the companies, because we haven't really had much presence from them so far. So excited for that. And it'll give the Elite something else to feud with.
My confusion is that there is, and obviously Alex knows more about New Japan than me, but there is a pretty big New Japan event this weekend that I'm sure Jay White is advertised for, but I don't know if it's in America or Japan. I was under the impression it's in Japan.
Was Slammiversary pre-taped?
Maybe.
Because I think that's what it might have been.
Realise that Slammiversary normally is one of the ones that they do live, but it might have actually been pre-taped.
I don't know what the Japanese border situation is like, because obviously they've got the Tokyo Olympics, and if Jay White say like a vaccinated resident, he might be able to travel. It's like it's got past the stage now. I think it's not as black and white as saying that you can't get from A to B because of quarantine at the moment.
It was exciting stuff.
The COVID politics is more complicated than wrestling these days. I have no idea what is going on and what you're allowed to do. So, yeah, let's move on from that. And let's talk about Raw after Money in the Bank. Gary, there was a lot of stuff going on last night in front of the first live crowd.
I am going to struggle here, but I'm going to try my best to keep it to two biddies, two putovers. My biddies are pretty easy. But the putover, actually, honorary mention first. The crowd is a biddy and a put over, but they're not getting involved because I love that the crowd's back. I hate two things about the crowd. The first thing that I hate about the crowd being back is that the watch chants are back. Fucking hate the watch chants. And WWE even encouraged it. They put out a video about missing the watch chants. So don't encourage that shite. But the other thing about the crowd that I hate is that they cheered Jackson Ryker. So
what?
I was in Texas, but cheered Jackson Ryker. Fucking nightmare.
Who was it who kept calling it Cowtown? Was it Pat McAfee who kept calling it Cowtown all night? And I love that. Sorry. quick Pat McAfee put over. Sorry.
But I put over John Cena. I've spoken about him a lot already, but I mean, he's getting mentioned again. John Cena. Just brilliant.
Can we have that reaction again, please? Because I think that's the best I've ever heard anyone react to John Cena.
The pop wasn't as big as the Money in the Bank one, understandably, because he'd been announced to open the show and stuff. But he came back, cut a brilliant promo, and, you know, the typical John Cena promo that we all knew what promo we were getting. But he hit a really good promo on Roman Reigns. He gave it he didn't really fuck about with the promo. He gave it with everybody wants to know how, why, where, what, all that stuff. And he just said, I came back. Who brought me back? I came back because of the fans. And then he said, but you're not the only reason. I also came back because of Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is an asshole. And I was a big pop because John Cena hardly ever swears. And obviously asshole isn't a swear word. But it was as close as we're getting for John Cena in the current form of wrestling. So that was good. Biddies. I've already mentioned Jackson Ryker, so I'm not letting him take up any of my biddies, even though he is the standard for the biddies. The Alexa Bliss Lily stuff. Going back to the well. Up until that happened, I was like, this Raw is about an 8 or a 9 out of 10, just because of how bad Raw has been for the past two-ish years. I really enjoyed, like, it got to the point where I'm like, man, we're getting to the end of Raw, and I'm enjoying it. Like, I've not really looked at the clock. I've not really thought, oh, that was really, really bad about anything. And then the Alexa Bliss and Lily segment came back. And the Alexa Bliss, I keep saying it, she's doing amazing work. They'd got rid of the Lily doll for a few weeks now. It's like, I can kind of put up with even the rubbisher parts of this story because the doll isn't there. And then they brought the doll back. But I now think that the doll is going to be, that the doll and Doudrop are the same thing, because Doudrop is a former Lily, the flower Lily. So I think they're going to work it in that way. She sometimes wears pigtails. I think that's going to be the payoff. And when it happens, it's getting buried as well. But that's the first bury. Second bury, I was going to bury Keith Lee. Sorry, no Keith Lee losing, because I don't have a problem with that. I might as well say it. Second put over then is Keith Lee coming back. And not just Keith Lee coming back, Keith Lee being a big deal coming back, even though he lost the match, because people are saying, oh, he lost the match, that's no good. He came back to challenge the WWE champion. He got out of the Hurt Lock. They also made a massive deal of him coming back on commentary. It was a genuine surprise as well. I thought Xavier Woods was going to be the challenger because he pinned Bobby Lashley last week. When the green light came on, I didn't quite clock the theme, and they didn't have the big Keith Lee at the start, I don't think. So I thought it was Ricochet that was coming out. So I love Ricochet, but it was a nice surprise getting Keith Lee instead of Ricochet. So I'm going to put over Keith Lee coming back. That was brilliant. The other bury, what I was going to say was I was going to bury Karrion Kross losing, but I actually don't care that much. I know that's his loss in singles action in WWE, but I think there's story to be told. I was mere upset Scarlett didn't commit with him, so I'm hoping the loss is going to be, my hope is that he's going to turn up on NXT the night, say, look, I've ran rampant on NXT. I don't want the title anymore. It's a distraction. I'm going to Raw. I'm taking Scarlett with me, and then we get next week some kind of story. So I'm not too upset about, and I don't really care that much about Karrion Kross in all honesty, to be upset about him losing. I'll let John be, John can be outraged about that. It doesn't really swing for me. So I'm not going to bury that.
What the fuck?
My bury, even though I'm excited about the potential matches for the first time ever in his return, I'm still burying Goldberg coming back and getting a WWE Championship match, because he's lost his past two WWE Championship matches and he's been nowhere. And then he comes back and he fucking gets a WWE Championship match. And I don't mind it, because Lashley-Goldberg will be an all right match. It leads us to potentially getting either Lashley or Goldberg versus Big E, or maybe even Lashley versus Lesnar. So I don't mind that too much, but I still need to bury Goldberg coming back, because I kind of be fucked seeing him in 2021.
You're right. Let's get back to Karrion Kross, right? Right. Karrion Kross makes us, we'll get, there's a story coming up in the news about it, right? But Karrion Kross gets his debut without Scarlett, and then gets beat off fucking Jeff Hardy.
Jeff Hardy with no more words as his theme tune.
I can't believe you did put that over, by the way. Aye, what the fuck, WWE? Karrion Kross has been built as an absolute machine. And listen, he does look a bit stiff in the ring, but he's still a big...
Was that technically his first WWE loss as well?
Yes! First singles loss.
Yes! He's a Vince guy. This is the kind of guy that Vince loves, and he's getting beat off Jeff fucking Hardy.
It was an unclean win. Jeff Hardy put his feet in the ropes. There might be a story to be told. I don't mind that.
I don't care. The only person to be able to beat,
well, I think it does. The one thing they have done is booked themselves out of a streak, so it means that they don't have an undefeated wrestler that they need to somehow defeat. They've got that straight out of the bag.
Vince hates streaks. He loves ending them. But I also actually meant to mention, when my John Cena put over, he done a wee segment with Riddle at the start, which I found a bit irritating, but everybody loved, so it deserves a mention. But I actually need to do a wee honorary put over for Riddle, because he done a wee tiny thing that I fucking loved during the first match. So he's not about... John Morrison's dripstick, and he's actually got a t-shirt now that says America's Moist Wanted, and he gets announced to the ring as America's Moist Wanted.
I can't have a problem with it.
I think it's absolutely brilliant. But they done a wee, just a wee amazing half a second thing in the match. It was Riddle teaming with the Viking Raiders against Morrison, Omos, and AJ. And they had Riddle run around. Miz was behind Omos, who was facing away from him, waiting for a tag. Miz is in his wheelchair with the dripsticks, and Riddle runs around, picks up the dripstick, and scooshes Omos and runs away again. So Omos is taking out the match because he's chasing Miz in a wheelchair up the ramp, which was just brilliant. It's like, that's the entertainment side of wrestling I want to see.
Is that t-shirt and this whole dripstick thing maybe not a little bit risque for WWE?
Yes, that's why it's great.
It's just the way where they've put some of the liquid at the top of the dripstick on the t-shirt.
The dripstick also looks like it could be slightly phallic as well. But I've saved my match of the night. So I've obviously, there's something that I've definitely not mentioned. My match of the night, there was, you know, Lee versus Lashley was a good match. There was a few good matches. If I was going to bury something else, it would have been the women's tag match because we didn't need to see any of that. I also didn't mention Reginald being World 24/7 champion, which is hundreds of stuff happened. But the thing that I'm saving for match of the night, and it wasn't a great match by any means, but even though it was an 8-second long match only featuring a crossbody and a pinfall, and my match of the night is Nikki Cross versus Charlotte Flair, purely for the outcome, purely because Nikki Cross is now a Raw Women's Champion. So I don't care if it was an 8-second match with a pretty ropey looking crossbody, because we've got Nikki Cross as the Women's Champion, and that's all that matters. So that's match of the night.
Yeah, quite right. Scottish champion. We need to take all the wins we get here in Scotland. So brilliant to see Nikki as champion. Right then, it's time to get to the main event now. We'll go back in time, and we've messed with the timeline this week, so apologies, but we need to get to this. Let's go to Ryan and Rico for SmackDown. Now, would you like to go first, Rico? Would you like to go second as defending champion?
I will let the challenger step up, see what he's got.
Right, okay, let's do it how we normally do it. So, Ryan, what is your first buddy of the... Oh, no, funny, let's go, let's get a putover first. What's your first putover?
My first putover's Pat McAfee on commentary. I think he's been excellent over the last couple of weeks. I think he proved people wrong when he was in NXT and he was wrestling Adam Cole. And if they thought, you know, he's not going to do much. Then ended up having a great match against him, and then had a great match at War Games. But I think just on commentary, he brings something different to what WWE usually have in commentators. He just seems like a kind of just a fan that's in commentary.
He's like a non-lame Byron Saxton. Like, he's got the same vibes, but you just don't hate him. It's weird.
And his reaction when Kevin Owens done a elbow drop to, I think it was Shinsuke, through a table, and you could see him. There was a video a fan took, and you know, he was just jumping about, and he was like high fiving all the fans and all that. And I think he's been great. And I seen Michael Cole was putting him over in Pat's podcast as well. So,
yeah, Pat. Pat is a good putover. I thought he did a really good job on... I've not been watching a lot of SmackDown, but I thought he was great at Money in the Bank and just sells it so well. Actually, I've got to put a shout-out to Jimmy on Raw commentary.
Oh, Jimmy Smith has been brilliant, aye.
I think Jimmy's been really, really good. Certainly better than What's-His-Face.
Adnan Virk.
Yep.
Was the hard not, honestly?
It wasn't.
What's his name? Mike Adamley. Whatever Adamley was better than Adnan Buck. So
this is the thing now. However badly a commentator does, everyone's just going to be like, you're better than Virk, mate. It's fine.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Rico, what is your first buddy?
First buddy of the evening. It's the Cesaro versus Otis match. Now, I know that last couple of weeks I have been putting over Otis and saying he's doing great, he looks good for a heel, he looks like a big old wrecking machine and everything like that. That's fine, Otis, great. But Cesaro losing in that sort of a match, Cesaro's trajectory since after WrestleMania has just plummeted. I don't understand it. I mean, he obviously showed that he's excellent in the ring. He had enough of a chance to do promos with Daniel Bryan. And do you know what? Fuck it. Get him back over to NXT. If we're going to bring up Karrion Kross, then send Cesaro over to NXT and get him with the NXT championship. Because if we're going to have somebody that carries it and somebody that will get good matches every single week with everyone on the roster, Cesaro's your guy. Like, he doesn't deserve to be on that SmackDown roster. Getting losses like that is nonsense. So I feel bitter about that, seeing it. But again, closing the door, getting a window open, putting him over to NXT because he deserves better.
I think they're teasing, and one thing that's worth noting as well, he wasn't on the Money in the Bank card, even though he was like in a WWE Universal Championship feud, like the last pay-per-view. But the one thing that I think they're teasing, and it's bizarre because one of the people that I would guess would be there is not available, but I think they're teasing a Cesaro tag team run again. And Sheamus obviously is doing stuff on Raw, so I don't think that is the thing that was, but I don't know who else they'd put in there. But it seemed like that, because obviously Otis and Chad Gable, but it's not needed. Geese Cesaro a title. He's not even been NXT champion, so chuck aye, NXT,
it,
chuck him
it
in NXT.
It reminds me of the booking of Cesaro post when he won the Andre the Memorial Battle Royal. Just when you think he's about to get there, they're like, no, we had you.
I know.
It feels like a broken record, but it's almost like every burial that you have of WWE is just encapsulated in Cesaro's situation at the moment. They like put him to the moon and then they bring him right back down and make sure he's buried deep into the earth. And you're kind of thinking, what are you doing?
I think he's the epitome of the WWE superstar that's got a ceiling, and that ceiling is never going to be broken. And Cesaro's ceiling seems to be, had a brilliant match for the Universal title, but lost. And then that's going to be his peak. It's really annoying.
Yeah, it is. It is, man. Imagine if Cesaro had won the briefcase. That would, you know, that would have popped everyone.
I think I would have still, I'd have chose Big E over Cesaro, but just.
Yeah.
I still think Corbin with the briefcase was the way to go. But that's,
I'm surprised Corbin wasn't. Where was Corbin in that match? Like, I kind of like, it was after the night, after like everyone came out, I was like, where's Corbin? If we only, like, I thought they'd have had some stuff with him and King Shinsuke or Kingsuke.
Yeah, I thought Corbin was booked for the match for some reason.
The qualifier way. I think a qualifier way Shinsuke.
Of course. Okay. I'm totally with you on that one. Totally with you. Ryan, what's your buddy?
I don't have many like buddies for the show because it was a pretty good show. But one buddy I have is Liv Morgan. She done an interview. She was just talking about how, you know, she's been training hard and she's going to win the match. But she was on, like, she was like green, and I just thought it was like, you know, why would you greet before the match? You know, even won it.
You agree at the end, but you can't greet beforehand.
I think it comes across a bit as And there's a way to do it, because I think on NXT UK this week, Ilya Dragunov was like in tears, and it was brilliant. It built everything it needed to. But when like the Liv Morgan one, I think they're guilty of doing it on Raw and SmackDown a lot, where they make a wrestler look like they've won a competition to become a wrestler. They just have them like very emotional. The way that it's fine for them to be on social media and we'll love it and we'll find them endearing, but when they do it on Raw or SmackDown, it comes across a bit disingenuous. So I thought that was a Liv Morgan thing. They'd done the same like right before Money in the Bank, and it was like, no, she's no chance of winning. No, it's going to look terrible if she wins.
I think it's fair enough if a wrestler greets, you know, after winning a belt or something, or even if she won Money in the Bank and she was greeting. But I just think it just seems a bit kind of, I don't know. It's not great. It's not a great look. She's greeting to be, because she's in a match, but she's not even won it yet. You know, so it's, I don't know.
So Rico, be gentle, just so there's no greeting on the podcast, eh?
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely. Rico, what is your putover, sir?
Gary touched on the crowds earlier. I'm not going to say just the crowds in general, but the first 15 minutes of SmackDown. No. But I can get onto something. I can tie him into it if you want. In fact, I will. I'll do it anyway. So I'll go into the first 15 minutes of SmackDown. WWE has this innate ability to just make good packages, and they made an excellent trail before the show just about how they've missed the fans and how the fans are they make moments, etc., etc. Puts a wee lump in your throat when you see stuff like that. But there was like 14,500 people in attendance, new set, there's a huge big back screen and everything like that. And the first man that we get out is Vince McMahon, and he swaggers out onto the screen, and you expect, you know, something more than what he said, but he goes, "Where the hell have you been?" And then just goes, and that's it. And okay, so then you get the huge big pops, the huge booing chorus for Roman Reigns and the Usos, a pop for the Mysterios, and then a fucking massive pop for Edge as well. And it's those sort of things that you miss, and those sort of things that you realise why the crowds are great. And yeah, you get your Watts, and disgustingly enough, they did it to Baron Corbin. There you go, John. You had other things as well, and there was two things in particular that stuck out for the crowd reactions as well, where when Finn Balor returning to SmackDown to confront Sami Zayn, which was cool, and Kevin Owens, as Ryan mentioned earlier, given Shinsuke Nakamura a huge elbow drop off of a ladder through the commentator's table. But you do realise just how much it enhances the viewing experience.
I know why they didn't do it, but Edge coming out first, I think, would have been incredible. But because I thought his pop was obviously, it was near the John Cena level, but as I watched it like in bed, very low volume, still held it obviously, and it still had the impact. But the next day, I actually, for anybody that doesn't know, even what's been mentioned on the show, shoot job as a subtitler, and I was subtitling SmackDown the next day with my headphones on with the volume up, and the pop for Edge, I was like, man, that is like spine tingling, like hairs on your arm standing up, and it was brilliant. And the fact that Dominic Mysterio's first time in front of fans, which we mentioned last week, but him getting to the Edge pose as well, it was just, everything about it was brilliant. I absolutely loved the Edge pop, was just great.
Yeah, it was unreal. It was like the Royal Rumble from 2012. Well, not quite as big, but it was massive anyway. So
definitely comparable. Aye.
Yeah, nice one. Right, match of the night then, gents. What are we thinking, Ryan?
I'd say the main event, I think the Fatal 4-Way was brilliant. There was a lot of good spots. Obviously, the Kevin Owens elbow drop. The finish was Rollins curb stomping Big E on the ladder. I think that was my match that night.
Rico?
Not that I'm disagreeing, I've just got a different opinion, but I thought that the six-man tag was really good. It was a good match to start the show with and give the fans a bit of wrestling to come back to. I thought that the Fatal 4-Way was great as well, but it felt like it was one for the fans to pop at spots for. It was great, but for me, six-man tag match.
Fair enough.
Well, the one thing that we mentioned, Dominic Mysterio, and we did nobody mentioned it, which I'm shocked about, the Mysterio's entrance at Money in the Bank.
Is that where like the green stuff
for the show?
They were, oh my god, if you haven't seen it, you need to see it. So the Mysterios, it showed them wearing like all black suits in front of like the Mayan the pyramid that's in Mexico, the big massive, and then they walked through a portal and ended up in the arena with all lucha masks, which obviously Dominic doesn't wear one, so he had like a Jason Friday the 13th. Had a Jason mask on that had the Rey Mysterio fucking the whatever you would call them, the wee flashes down it. And it was just, I still don't know if I liked it or if I didn't like it. But it was just pure shite sci-fi stuff. But I'm surprised that it didn't get mentioned, but I guess they watched the pre-show, which is why.
I'm surprised Alex hasn't mentioned anything on CG on this
podcast. Oh, I have to put over the CG team. They did two good bits. The New Day entrance, when they've got like Xavier and Kofi as little Mario characters running round and round and round. And the Rhea Ripley one was good too, with the chains. But that Roman Reigns thing gets worse and worse and worse. Like, now they've animated it, and like they show you it's static, and then it kind of goes up to do its roar, and just nothing about it is in any way good.
Alex is a CG artist by day, so he knows what he's talking about.
I'm allowed to criticise this shit.
Yeah, you're allowed to criticise that.
Maybe.
So, decision time.
Here we go.
Right. It's a bit like the X Factor, this. Maybe we should build it up. I think, Ryan, fantastic. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Brilliant job. But something happened during this week's podcast, which it's edged Rico. I have never heard his Vince McMahon impression until today, and it was incredible. But here's what I'm going to say, right? Because, you know, Wrestling Dad, we're a family, we're a community, right? Ryan, how would you like to form a tag team with one of us? So then you can choose what promotion you would like to do. It could be AEW with Alex, could be Raw with Gary, or it could be NXT with me, and you can form a tag. How would you like that opportunity?
Oh, that'd be good, aye.
Reach for the brass ring, Ryan.
Aye.
What promotion would you like to focus on?
We'll go AEW.
AEW. So he's made the right choice.
Brilliant. So you've now got a tag partner.
Well, rule number one is that I'm Nick Jackson and you're Matt Jackson.
Right.
That's the only rule I have.
So you're going to have to think of a tag team name for next week. So, Ryan, if you're up for it, you can tag with Alex, come back on, form a tag team, and we'll see you next week for the Buddies and Putovers.
Cool.
Is that a cop-out? Have I just done a total complete...
Yes. Aye, but yes. We're used to it.
Everybody's been swelled.
That's fine. Brilliant. Well, listen, thanks very much, Ryan. Thanks very much, Rico, and the rest of these. If you want to get your buddies and put overs in for Rab and Grado, it's dead easy to do. Get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta Wrestling Daft Podcast, or just plain old Wrestling Daft on the Book of the Face. So I mentioned it earlier on, but remember, if you want more content from Wrestling Daft, get involved at patreon.com/WrestlingDaft. Lots of content up there already that you can get. We've got lots of tiers set up. Cruiserweight champion, intercontinental champion, and heavyweight champion. All varying prices. You'll get the video version of this show. You'll get the video version of Rab and Grado on the main show. Invite to our Patreon pay-per-view parties, bonus podcasts, T-shirts, the full shebang. You can pick what tier you want to get involved in. Just get involved. patreon.com/WrestlingDaft. Would love to have you on our roster. Thank you very much.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
It's the wrestling news with Gary Cassidy. And it's only Gary Cassidy because Alex now has to leave the podcast because he's got to go on a date.
John, you're such a wind up. Goodbye.
That is true though, you're going on a date. And like we say, don't tell her that you do a wrestling podcast. First date chat, don't mention wrestling, okay? In fact, don't mention at all, probably. Until maybe you're married.
That's usually the best way to approach it, yes.
Yeah.
Life advice for our listeners.
There we go. Good luck with your date, Alex. Can we have an update on it next week?
Alex, no, because John, we need to find you a new life. Or we need to start you an affair because you're a little bit too into the men's gossip. Or have you considered watching Love Island instead of wrestling this week?
Oh, maybe.
Alex, make sure you bring up on the first date that you would like to have the laminated pass. That's you need to bring up the laminated pass.
Yeah, let's just laminated pass chat. That will go down really well. But good luck, Alex.
Boys. Bye.
Bye. Right, let's get into the wrestling news now. He's gone. Right, this is what I'm talking about, Gary. There's been a story that we talked about in the Buddies and Putovers, Karrion Kross, and you didn't bury the fact that Karrion Kross got beat. However, a story has appeared today from a very good journalist, one of our favourites, Sean Ross Sapp, and he has something to say about this.
Aye, so sadly, I've got no inside news on Alex's date situation, but one person that gets inside news on all things WWE is Sean Ross Sapp. The Fightful Raw review, they go live, I believe, right after Raw every single week. Normally, it is just, you know, breaking down the show. Normally, their news hits select first rather than hitting the reviews. But Sean Ross Sapp had put out a tweet saying that he had heard earlier in the day that Karrion Kross was going to lose his debut and didn't actually believe it. So he didn't want to, you know, didn't want to venture any further. Obviously, things can change through the day. So by the time he'd verified it, stuck out the news, it probably might even not have came true. It did. And aye. the reason for it is apparently what most people, I think, would possibly speculate and maybe expect, that Vince McMahon doesn't seem to care about NXT.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's the kind of thing where I always, like, with stuff like this, I'm always, it's the thing that people always mention, but it's hard to argue with, because we've seen how a lot of NXT talent has been treated in the past when they went to the main roster. But might as well give you the direct quote, which is, Vince McMahon does not give a damn about NXT. I had an NXT wrestler, unnamed wrestler, which obviously say that felt like a message being sent, because obviously Karrion Kross has had an undefeated single streak. He's a two-time NXT champion without losing a match, because obviously he had to relinquish the belt.
Yep.
But made his debut on Raw and lost to Jeff Hardy, who hasn't won many matches recently, never mind against an undefeated superstar.
The thing is, they made a big deal about it during the show, saying NXT champion Karrion Kross debuts on Raw tonight. And it was all NXT champion. And then Jeff Hardy fucking pins him.
Actually, bizarrely, when they brought that up, I thought he's going to answer Keith Lee, Bobby Lashley's open challenge, and they've accidentally put out a wee spoiler on it. But obviously, didn't he? Obviously, he did debut. But I think the main, I mean, we'll see how it goes next week. My theory is that he might relinquish the NXT championship, and then Scarlett might be brought in, because his post-match interview kind of teased that there was going to be a change. But I mean, I know it's storytelling, but it is a bit iffy. I just don't really care that much. I'm not as invested as Karrion Kross.
Why do you not like Karrion?
I loved him. I loved the stuff he done with Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan in his first NXT reign. And I loved his TNA stuff. And I know Grado mentioned it on the main podcast. Like the stuff he done in TNA was great. And that's where I thought WWE were going with. But he just lost the mystique when he got injured. And I know that's not his fault. But the way they dealt with his injury, in terms of him just going to the ring and relinquishing the title, I'd rather they didn't show it. I'd rather Scarlett came and just laid down the belt and walked away, and they just didn't show vulnerability. Because I think since then, there's just been something missing. The mystique has been away. And then the main event match that he had, main event, capital letters, shite, Raw show. When I seen the footage of that, with Scarlett going into the Thunderdome, it just didn't add up. And then last night, again, the presentation just wasn't quite right. So I just...
Yeah, they put Scarlett just for the entrance and the presentation and, like, what she does. So, yeah, if they're going to put her up on the main roster, they need to put Scarlett with them.
Him with her, I think, is just, like, no offence to the guy, he's brilliant. I like the stiff style of working. I like his character. But him with Scarlett, I think, is, like, Robin with Batman. I think, like, he's the Robin of the situation, which I know is bizarre because she's only a mouthpiece, but she just brings so much to his presentation that she's needed.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I am intrigued to see how they'll book. And it's intriguing because, you know, you think you have to, if they want to get him up onto Raw, they'll need to do some of the NXT championship. So we'll wait and find out what happens there. But yeah, I hated the fact he got Jeff Hardy. I might have not made my feelings clear on this situation, but there we go. Let's move on to Becky Lynch. She was backstage at Money in the Bank, we all believe. And Charlotte obviously called her out a wee bit on Raw last night as well.
Aye, so actually I really like all of this. So she was pictured, a fan took a photo of her running for the back. And I want to say Houston, somewhere in Texas, wherever the show was on Sunday. So somebody took a photo of running and said Becky Lynch, and Becky Lynch replied to the comment on Instagram saying, that might not be me, that could be anybody's incredibly well-built shoulders and stuff like that, like joking about it. And then she put up a tweet outside the arena. So obviously it sent the fans going wild. And then during the Money in the Bank, or at the very start of the Rhea Ripley-Charlotte match, all the fans were chanting for Becky. Charlotte Flair gave the middle finger. Peacock just coincidentally went down at that point in time, completely cut the feed. Nice note on that is I think Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley done really well to get the crowd back on track, because they were chanting this is awesome by the end. But obviously, when Charlotte Flair's going to cut a promo the next night on Raw, the fans are going to chant for Becky Lynch. Everybody knew it was coming. And the main thing is, I'm going, how is Charlotte Flair going to react to this? So she acknowledged it head on. I'm guessing this was off the cuff. Maybe she'd prepared, you know, backstage, knowing the fans were going to chant. But as you said, she's still at home breastfeeding. I quite like that. I love the kind of the wee jabs, especially if it was off the cuff. But Becky Lynch, of course, took to Twitter to respond in the way that Becky Lynch would respond, saying, breastfeeding at home and still the most over woman in the division. Probably true. Yeah, can't really argue well, can you?
I love the fact she's also changed her location on her Twitter bio to living in Charlotte's head.
Yes.
Which is great.
Which she's done several times in the past, and it still pops me every time, much like the Young Bucks changing their bio. But it's got to just be a matter of time. But it's getting to the point where I think, in a good way, it is like the boy who cried wolf, because she's going to keep trolling everybody. And then it'll get to the point where, like, it's just Becky Lynch trolling everybody again. And then when she does come back, which there was a lot of rumours that it would have been over this weekend, a lot of people said, you know, they're hearing that she's going to return imminently. A lot of backstage talk that she's going to return imminently. But they're just putting it off and putting it off. And I quite like that.
I think it'll be Survivor Series. I think it'll be... she's a young mum, you know. Trust me, I'm a dad, and I've, you know, that first 6 months of having a baby is a fucking nightmare. So, you know.
And also, like, you're saying that as someone who was they taking bumps, like, two weeks later.
Exactly.
So, I think it's the kind of thing where I love that she's this involved, but yeah, they just need to be like, it takes as long as it takes for her to come back. It'll be brilliant when it happens, no matter when it is. If it's the Mora, it'll be great. It won't be the Mora because there's no show the Mora, apart from AEW, which wouldn't be news. But if it was Friday or Monday, brilliant. But if it's a year from now, it'll still be brilliant. So exactly. It's not really a big deal.
Exactly. I can't believe she got babysitters. So that's quite impressive. That's not bad. Well, let's move on finally to Chris Jericho trying to get AC/DC's Back in Black for the Inner Circle's return.
I love this because I keep mentioning it, but AEW's use of music is brilliant. Like, I've said on many times
to get the tracks.
The Orange Cassidy one must have cost a pretty penny.
Oh god, where is my mind by the pictures? But I know obviously I think that's what used in the indie scene, didn't they?
Yes.
But like, where's my mind? It's not a great wrestling theme to walk down to.
It doesn't even add up for him, for me, because I think you could bring out something really slow and really drag it. But I keep mentioning Jungle Boys, like, I think has taken to main event level. Like, I think this is great, and obviously Moxley. So we know AC/DC, they've at least got some kind of deal with WWE, because WWE use, you know, Are You Ready for a Good Time for SmackDown. They've used, I think, Thunderstruck they've used before as well on a few occasions for video packages. But Chris Jericho tried to get Back in Black for the Inner Circle. They've obviously released the merch. They've got the Back in Black t-shirt that is Inner Circle on it. So didn't they happen, as most people can tell if they've been watching the show. But he mentioned this on the Two-Man Power Trip of Wrestling podcast. We actually tried to get Back in Black for our return pro after we attacked the Pinnacle in our dressing room, and they wouldn't give us the time of day. So sorry, AC/DC fans, because that, again, could be anything. Could be their deal with WWE or whatever. But he said, there's been other ones. We wanted Van Halen right after Eddie died. We wanted to use Running with the Devil. And they came back asking for $500,000.
That is mental for music licensing.
At least we know the Pixies one cost less than that, if that's unless they just deemed it more important. But a polite way of saying no fucking way, and AC/DC didn't come back with an offer at all. And he then added that, I seen them on Applebee's commercial using Back in Black, so I guess they're a fan of the baby back ribs or something like that. Which again is interesting, because Applebee's was advertised during WWE over the weekend.
I know. There was that rumor that WWE basically strategically used Are You Ready for SmackDown so that AEW couldn't get TNT TNT for Dynamite.
Well, that would have been a perfect theme as well. That would have been brilliant. I don't know how much to read into that WWE would have thought that far ahead. If they did, genius. I mean, that, what a move to block that by just buying a song that doesn't even really fit SmackDown. It's grew on me, but it doesn't. It's not like the best. But I said he thought the whole concept of Back in Black would fit. It's a saying everybody knows, rolls off the tongue, fits the mindset of what they're doing. They're coming back more focused, serious and darker, and that's how it's been throughout the whole return, which I get, and it would have been great, but I don't feel like it's the biggest miss of all time that they didn't get it. I mean, getting TNT for Dynamite would have been much better.
Licensing music is an expensive game, so Tony, I think Baltimore would have been quite easy, quite cheap to get, to be fair, but when you start talking about Wild Thing and stuff like that, it gets expensive, so...
The version that they've got now probably was slightly less expensive. I guess they would have still had to have... Yeah, a wee bit of money to the trogs as well.
There you go. Well done, Gary. We're scanning your head there.
I was like, the trogs. There we go.
So hopefully more music in AEW, because it always excites me when somebody has a theme, which is actually a theme that, like, you go, oh, I know that one.
My shout is that Ruby Riott is going to come back with Noah's Ruby Soho and get the Rancid song, which would be amazing. But I still keep saying 3 days grace, Riott, let's start a riot would be great for all, but Ruby Soho will be good as well.
I predict a riot by the Kaiser Chiefs. You could have that as well.
That would be less good than Rancid.
Yeah, okay, I agree. Sorry. Thanks for the news, as ever, Gary. That is it for this week's Wrestling Daft Marks. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for rating, reviewing and subscribing if you've done that on Apple or wherever you get a podcast. We really appreciate if you can just drop us a wee review. I mean, it keeps us on track, lets us know if we're good or not. I think we've actually got, for Wrestling Daft, I think we've actually got a 5-star rating, which is incredible.
Man, Dave Meltzer would have gave us 6 if we were in Japan, so that's disappointing.
Dave, give us a 5-star review, please. You can't do quarter stars on Apple, though, so that's a bit of a nightmare. Rab and Grado back on the main podcast. Oh, no, fat, Grado's not on the podcast this week. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news. Grado's currently filming 2 doors down and is up to his eyes, so he's not on the podcast. So it's just me and Rab that are on it this week. So... we don't even know. I've not even put down the list of Wrestling Daft. You know what? Just to piss off Grado, I might actually just do the best TNA
moments.
Just to annoy him. Potentially might do that. But yeah, we'll have all the usual stuff on the main podcast. So look out on Twitter for the buddies and putovers, list of Wrestling Daft, any other business, all that jazz. Gary, what are you up to for the rest of the week? Interviewing anyone wrestling-wise? Or?
No, it's barren. Sadly, it's no barren. I wish it was barren. Oh. Barren is a dream interview. But no, nothing planned. But sometimes that's when things pop up. Annoyingly, it's beautiful outside for the rest of the week and I'm working late. It's update on shifts. So, great fun.
Well, go and enjoy the sunshine if you can just now. And thank you very much for listening to Wrestling Daft. And until next time, just keep marking out. Audio Frontier.